This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2. You'll also find us online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for joining us today. On the program today, our monthly look at diet and nutrition. Our guest today is registered and licensed dietitian Stacy Krawczyk. She's sitting in today for Susan Kundrat. One of the things we thought we might talk about this afternoon is the lunchbox. School begins in just a few weeks. A lot of kids take their lunch to school, and many adults take a lunch to work. How do you make a good lunch, something that's tasty and healthy and easy on the budget? How do you keep from doing the same thing day in, day out? How do you make a lunch that you and your loved ones will look forward to opening? So if you've got some ideas, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. We would also like to hear your questions and comments about other issues involving diet and nutrition. The phone number's in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Let me tell you about our guest. Stacy Krawczyk is a registered and licensed dietitian in private practice. She specializes in family nutrition and education nutrition. She's also a consultant for the Illinois Nutrition Education and Training Program, also known as Illinois NET. This fall, Stacy will teach some nutrition and cooking classes for University of Illinois Campus Recreation. And Stacy and Susan Kundrat are also working together to offer some Nutrition on the Move group classes beginning this fall that they're calling Educated Eating. Those will be at Strawberry Fields. Listeners, we look forward to hearing from you this afternoon. Join us with a phone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. Welcome. Good to meet you. Thanks for coming in and sitting in for Susan today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. This is just a great opportunity. I have a huge passion about family nutrition, and back to school is a big time of this, this time of year. So.
Yeah. Well, what should a good lunch include?
Well, if you're going to be packing a lunch, I always like to prescribe to looking at each eating opportunity. Let's do it on purpose. And so we can fit in the fun things later on, but if we try to get the big, pieces in place first, then that allows us to have those fun things later on, especially for kids. You know, want to make sure we have some type of protein, whole grains, fruit, vegetable, dairy, or calcium-containing food. And that way it helps to, we know that we're not throwing away an opportunity to provide a healthy meal for a child.
Okay, and then at the end of the, after that's all done, maybe we have a tiny piece of candy or a cookie or something.
Right, right. And like for my own children, I, kind of surprise them. They don't get a treat every day. It's kind of a, they don't know when it's coming and when it'll pop up in the lunchbox.
Yeah. Well, fruit can be a real treat.
Oh, most definitely.
Grapes and peaches, and right now we're at such a fine point in the year.
I have blueberries, almost like candy.
Yes, I have a peach and some blackberries in my lunch today. So, yeah, at this point in the year, the fruit and veggies is kind of a piece of cake, so to speak.
Right. A lot easier to pack lunch right now, but, in the dead of winter when it's a lot more challenging to find those fruits and vegetables that are appealing, or already through the year you've been given carrots as the vegetable day after day.
Yeah.
The dead of winter, it's hard to come up with some variety.
Yeah, maybe some bell pepper or celery or jicama.
Right. My boys actually love jicama because it's so crisp, and they love to dip it in, ranch dressing. And it really doesn't have a strong taste at all. It's just more of a texture.
What are their lunchbox favorites?
Well, I think any sandwiches that I make, and I like to try to vary it up a little bit, but some type of lean meat, so like turkey or ham, and sometimes I'll give them low-fat cheese, usually baby carrots, because they're so easy to pack, especially in the morning as we're rushing to get out the door, and then some type of fruit. I remember in the wintertime, actually, when pomegranates come in season, I will send pomegranates to school with them, and all their little friends around the table had no idea. And so they were passing out all the pomegranate seeds because they just thought that that was so cool. They had never seen something like that before.
Yeah. So you might have a child that could be a trendsetter or... On the other hand, there are kids who just want it plain, the same thing every day. This is what I want. And is that okay? Or
yeah, as long as you, again, are meeting a lot of those, mm-hmm. You know, kind of big signposts of the whole grains. And, you know, if a child is maybe just wants a white bread sandwich, maybe substitute one slice as whole grain and one slice as white to kind of get them used to the difference in the taste and the texture. And they are getting some whole grain that way, and it gives them an opportunity to try it.
Okay, very good. We've got a caller who would like to talk with us this afternoon already, so let's get to this individual, a listener in Montezuma, Indiana, on line 4. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Hi.
I make my own yogurt, and I was wondering if the vitamins A and D in the process get destroyed by the bacteria.
Actually, you're making it from milk that you get at the store?
That's correct.
Then there should be, you know, negligible amounts that are actually destroyed in the process. But you can always, again, using the products from the store, you should be doing just fine.
Okay. Thank you very much,
then. You're very welcome. Mm. Other questions, comments for our guest are invited this afternoon. Join us with a phone call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Do you pack yogurt for your kids?
Yes, they love yogurt. I tend to buy the plain yogurt, and then I can add in my own sugar that way. Like I'll stir in some fruit spread or fruit, or add just a little bit of brown sugar, so that way I can control the amount of sugar. Plus, it's a lot more frugal to be able to purchase it in a large amount in plain flavor rather than buying the individually pre-sweetened flavors.
Yeah. And with the plain, then you could turn that also into something savory for your dip.
That's right. You can make a dip for the vegetables.
Cucumber.
Grape tomatoes.
Grape tomatoes, right.
Bell pepper, as you mentioned. Red pepper, actually, a lot of kids really like it because it has, you know, it's sweeter than a green bell pepper.
Uh-huh.
And so that's always the orange, the yellow, the red, those are always wonderful.
And it's attractive as well.
We eat with our eyes first.
Yeah. Do the boys sometimes eat the lunches prepared at school?
Yes, they do. I allow them a couple times a week, depending on how busy our week is. They usually like to be able to go through the line and enjoy that. And so that is, they always look forward to that. But I always let them get the milk every day. That's one less thing that I have to pack in the morning for them. Plus, I know they're getting a good calcium source with lunch every day.
Yeah. How much time do kids get for lunch at school these days?
It varies, but about 20 minutes, which if you've ever gone into the cafeteria at that time, it can be a little crazy. And trying to get those many kids through in that amount of time is a struggle sometimes for school districts.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've been in the lunchroom.
Yes. Yes. It's an eye-opening experience. I encourage any parent that have kids at school to be able to go and just get an idea. Because not only are you seeing what other kids are bringing for lunch, but also, too, of just the atmosphere, the environment, and how if you want to get active in your school and the local wellness policies, that's a great way to kind of get some information to be able to support whenever you want to feel that there should be changes made.
Mm. Local wellness policy?
Yes. Every school is required to have a local wellness policy on the books as of a year and a half ago. And so it's a group of people that come together and develop a policy that is specific on the school health environment. And it has community members, administration, the school food service, and you know, interested parties in the community to be able to come in and sit down and how can we make our school healthier.
Mm. Did this grow out of our concerns over obesity?
Yes, it did. Since the 1980s, the incidence of childhood obesity and overweight has tripled, which epidemiological studies, you know, show that rates do not change that quickly unless there's something huge going on. And, you know, we're a drive-through society. We don't move as much as we should, and we eat a lot more than we should. And so we have, you know, this rise in childhood overweight and obesity. And so not only do we have a federal law that says each school district needs to have a local wellness policy, state of Illinois also jumped on the bandwagon. We have a state law, too, just kind of put the exclamation point at the end of that.
Okay. Well, back to the lunchroom. Any insights you'd like to share with us about the real world at school in the lunchroom?
Well, it is hard. I mean, we are living a very fast-paced life, and it's hard to get organized to be able to, if you are going to send a lunchbox to school with a child, to be able to take the time and plan. Because, again, we want to not throw this opportunity for good nutrition away. We want to be able to send good, healthy foods with them, because we know that nutritious foods do impact learning, and that the healthier a child is, the better that they will learn. And so we want to be able to offer a great opportunity to, you know, give them a good lunch. School lunch is also great. It's mandated by the USDA to have, you know, over the course of a week, the nutrition is very standardized in terms of being able to offer fruits and vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy, meat 30% or less from calories from fat, to be able to have protein and vitamin C and iron. So, you know, it's very standardized. And what's really good is that those rules are currently under revision right now to be even more strict, to come into the dietary guidelines even more.
And how do the school lunches stack up to what's being sent to school in lunchboxes?
Some research has shown that children who routinely eat the school lunch generally have better nutrition and get the nutrients they need than children who are bringing their lunches from home on a routine basis, okay. Which was shocking. But if you've ever been in a lunchroom, you see that, you know, it's hard when you're trying to pull together a lunch real quick, or maybe the kids are doing it themselves. You know, less than good choices are being made.
Yeah. What kinds of things are showing up in the school lunchbox in lunchboxes at school that have been sent from home that maybe don't fit with this idea of yours of on purpose eating?
Well, anything that you see already prepacked, it's done for convenience sake. And so all of the chips, you know, you get the little chips that, you know, are in the bags that they can tear off. And so they'll generally, what I usually see are chips, some type of sugary drink, whether it be soda or a juice-like beverage, but, you know, it may have 10% juice in it, if that. Very rarely is it 100% juice that I'm seeing in the lunch boxes. Sometimes a sandwich, usually on white bread, and maybe some candy, cookies, those type of things. Very little fruits, very little vegetables, very little whole grains is what you typically see in a standard lunchbox and when you go into the cafeteria.
Yeah. So keep an eye on the juice box labels, huh?
Most definitely. There's, you know, lots of wonderful, right now, especially with the heat going on, all of the juice boxes are on sale, but you have to look really closely for those that are 100% juice only, because a lot of them are maybe 10%.
Yeah, okay. And then those little things that are all put together for you, the kids love those.
Of course they do.
But so can you make up your own at home and have them, you know, have that same kind of feel to them that the kids put them together and they open it up and it's the right size for their, you know, fingers and whatnot.
Well, especially those little boxes of the prepacked crackers and cheese and ham and sometimes a little treat. My boys were just whining constantly about wanting to have those at their lunch. So we bought them for one time. I said, please hold on to the container. And I had them brought it home. And then I make my own and use that little container. And then they can take it in. They feel like they're still getting, you know, that product. But I get to choose what goes in there.
Yeah. And the kids, the other kids at school think, oh, they got Lunchables again.
Don't
they have a nice mom?
That's right.
Well, now maybe we should talk a little bit about the fact that when kids start off here coming up, chances are it's still going to be warm.
Oh, yes.
It could be hot. So keeping it safe when you're packing a lunch for kids or for yourself or for somebody you love.
Really year-round, it's important to make sure that you want to have the food safe by the time they're ready to eat. Because a lot of times they're sitting for, you know, 3-4 hours, and you know, you want to have an ice pack in there, or, you know, freeze a juice box, or have, you know, make sure all the materials that go into the lunchbox are cold at that time, rather than making something and you know, taking it from the, like, a, say if you would make an egg salad and it's not refrigerated and you put it immediately into a lunchbox, then it could potentially be at the danger zone, you know, of temperature-wise that could potentially cause someone to get sick.
Yeah.
So I always make sure that I have an ice pack in there. I got a little Spider-Man one. The boys love it. And I just, you know, when they, part of the routine of when they get home every day, I take all the stuff out of their lunchbox, put their ice pack back in the fridge, and wash any of the materials again, because I try to reuse rather than always having the zip-top bags and throwing those away. I try to reuse containers, have a couple sets, because, like, eventually two boys, they're throwing them away or losing them, or et cetera.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Well, a lot of us, a lot of adults, bring our lunch to work. Do you?
Yes, I do. It's really a great way that, again, I can control what I'm eating, when I want to eat it. You know, if I want to have a snack at 10 a.m., I can pull out part of my lunch and have that snack. But also, too, it's cheaper. I mean, as food costs are continuing to rise, and it's, you know, costs a lot to go out to restaurants, and this enables you to, you know, really save that restaurant time for special events and not, you know, constantly going down to, you know, the fast food places on lunch hours, you're, you know, trying to run errands.
Mm-hmm.
That if you do take something with you, you know, again, it takes some planning, but when you do that, you know, it's definitely better for your health.
Yeah, yeah. And it, for me, it's something I really look forward to. When I come to work in the morning, I'm here until it's time to go home. And so it's really something that I really enjoy. And sometimes I take a little extra time a day ahead or the night before, but then sometimes it's put it together, you know, on the fly as you're heading out the door. But my problem is maybe finding the right mix of protein and carbs. And the other issue is variety.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we get in a rut. You know, research shows that we have about 15 recipes, and we just continue to go over those recipes time and time again until something breaks through that, whether we, you know, have a health concern and we have to address it differently,
mm-hmm.
or that we, you know, decide we're going to lose weight, then, you know, we start looking at things differently. So, yeah, it's always kind of being having it present in your mind of how you can choose things on purpose and being able to look at all the different options out there and, you know, changing it up, maybe have a write down your routine lunches, and that way you can pick and choose and create the lunch for the week. And oh yeah, I remember I forgot I wanted to bring hummus sometime this week, and that's a great, you know, alternative to a sandwich. You can have it with vegetables, you can put it on crackers, you know. And also too, reading labels, there's lots of pre-packed things out there if that's, you know, the most convenient for you. You know, the little tuna cups, you know, there's some that are, you know, very little fat. You have to, you know, read the labels again. But you know, take that with some crackers and some fruit and some vegetables or some vegetable juice. Again, changing up different options.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I try and think about is making a little extra at dinner time of whatever, and then putting that right away into the fridge, into a container, and then that can come with me. And one of the things I've discovered, and I thought when I did this the first time, I thought, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but it works beautifully. So this is what I want to share with the audience, and then I hope that they will call in and share their own ideas. And also questions about general diet and nutrition are invited this afternoon as well. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Our guest this afternoon, sitting in for Susan Kundrat, is Stacy Krawczyk. She is a registered and licensed dietitian in private practice. She specializes in family nutrition and education. And this fall, she's going to be teaching some nutrition and cooking classes for the University of Illinois Campus Recreation. And Stacy and Susan are going to be teaming up this autumn to offer some Nutrition on the Move group classes beginning this fall that they're calling Educated Eating, and those will be available through Strawberry Fields. 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. Okay, here's what I do. we're going to have a salad at dinner time. I make more than we're going to eat. And I take what's left over and I, you know, it's a nice leafy green salad and it maybe got some celery, some bell pepper, whatever I've got time to put in the evening. And then I set some of that aside in a container that I can seal up. I put that into a container. It's all cleaned and prepared and everything. And then I either put a damp paper towel or damp, clean, you know, like cloth napkin or little towel or something on top of that. And then I put it in the refrigerator. I get it out in the morning. The first time I tried this, I thought, well, what the heck? I got more salad here than I know what to do with this evening, so I thought, I'll try to take this to work with me. So I did that. When I got up in the morning, I pull it out of the refrigerator, I look in there, it looks great. So then I just took my salad dressing, put a little bit on the top, put the paper towel, the damp paper towel, back on top, closed it up, put it in my lunchbox with my, what do they call those, ice blocks?
Yeah,
those
ice pack.
Ice packs. Beautiful.
That's great.
So, and then crackers on the side, maybe a hard-cooked egg, mm-hmm. you know.
Other proteins that you could add to that, I mean, that is great because it keeps it from getting too soggy because salads sometimes can
get. Yeah, wilt over, right?
Yeah, definitely. And so you even put the dressing on it and because a lot of times the dressing will cause it to go soggy instead of, you know, taking
just
a little container.
Or take it in a little container mm-hmm. as well. Very good. Well, let's talk with a listener now. Caller in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi. I have a question, and I'm almost embarrassed to ask it because it seems so elementary, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When, you know, they say that a serving size is a half cup, you know, so like if you're, is that right? It is a half cup for vegetables or whatever?
Yes, of vegetables, yes.
Right. Okay, so how do you account for just the inherent lumpiness of these vegetables and things? You know, if you're measuring out a cup of carrot sticks or grapes or cherry tomatoes or something, you know, do you sort of mound over the cup, or should it still be level? You know, like I say, I know that seems so silly, but I am curious about that. And if I were to weigh it instead of measure it, what weight would a serving size be?
Well, the weight is going to be, you know, different compared to the kinds of, you know, a carrot's going to weigh different than a tomato. And okay. So really probably looking at it visually and, you know, we're all not going to get our measuring cups out and measure before we sit down and eat.
Right.
So trying to think about just eyeballing it, when you look at something that say is a tennis ball, is about a cup.
Okay.
And so if you think about half of that, you know, when mounded up on your plate. Again, if something's, you know, going to be lumpier like broccoli, big broccoli, florets, you know, that's going right. to be a little bit different. But just, you know, again, it's not trying to be so militant about, you know, specific serving sizes because vegetables and fruits, you know, we want you to eat more of those.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, that's a good thing. But when we talk about, you know, other things, you know, that, you know, like mashed potatoes and or, you know, things that are wonderful.
Right. Yeah. Like I say, I use those measuring cups that I measure my brownies and my
that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So the point is don't worry about it so much. Because I also thought there was something about if you go by volume, you know, 8 ounces is a liquid cup, right? But is it still a cup by weight?
No, because, again, every product is different.
Everything weighs differently.
Right. And so you could get a whole – I mean, can you imagine a cup of salad's going to weigh a lot less than a cup
right.
of carrots?
Carrots. Okay. So really don't go by weight and just do the visual kind of whatever, you know, whatever you think would be right.
Right. I mean, if you're looking at your plate, you know, about half of it should be of fruits and vegetables.
Right. Okay. Very good. All right. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Thanks for the call this afternoon. You want to remind us about the latest thinking in terms of fruits and vegetables and how many servings we need a day or we should have a day?
Well, the old kind of campaign was 5 a day. And we
right.
saw 5 a day everywhere in the grocery stores, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It really is 5 to 9 because it depends. When you look at the My Pyramid, the new dietary guidelines from 2005, it really is individualized based on your age and your sex and your weight and your activity level. You know, everybody's different. We have a different calorie level. And what's great about if you go on to mypyramid.gov, you can put all that in. It will spit out for you a recommendation of what you should be doing. And, you know, again, activity level if you're trying to lose weight or mm-hmm. maintain, et cetera. So really 5 to 9 servings, you know, is the recommendation. But mm-hmm. depends on who you are.
Yeah. And serving size is going to also depend on what it is you're eating. For example, a serving size of nuts is very different than a serving size of fruit or vegetables. A serving size of protein, different again.
Most definitely. And even within the fruits and vegetables, you know, the kind of raw vegetables are going to have a larger volume because you've still got all that water in there. And mm-hmm. so like a cup of leafy green vegetables is comparison to, say, like a half a cup of cooked carrots. You know, you've got that difference in terms of whether it's raw or cooked as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, for like protein, you know, again, it depends on your, you know, age, sex, and et cetera. But a serving size, typically a good serving size would be about 3 ounces, like of a chicken breast or of beef, et cetera. And that's about the size of your palm of your hand. Also, too, with nuts, about what you can mound up in your palm is a good serving size.
Yeah. So less than a quarter cup you're looking at there.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they are power packed. They've got great nutrition, but they're also high calorie because of all the fat in there. It's good fat, but it's more calories.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest this afternoon, registered and licensed dietitian, Stacy Krawczyk. Listeners, if you've got questions about diet, nutrition, give us a call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL and toll-free, 800-222-WILL. For those situations when we're on the run or we're at work and we can't get away and we just have to have something a little quick, we're in the car, we're in at our desk, and you're hungry and it's important to get something, what might we have on hand that would be a good alternative to doing that drive-through thing or heading towards somebody's candy dish?
Well, you know, trying to, again, be prepared, having some snacks in the car or in your desk that you can take with you that, you know, can kind of fill in those gaps. You know, the vegetable juice and the small individual serving size cans, those are great. You know, I take those all the time in my lunch. Some of the granola bars, again, have a look at the labels, you know, the some of the higher quality ones that have more nuts in them, you know, they may be a little higher in the calories, but you're going to be getting a little more sustained feeling of fullness after them than, you know, some of the ones that are the quick and easy, more high in sugar type of granola bars.
Yeah, what those cereal bars and granola bars, looking at the labels, how do you, what do you want to see on there that says quality?
Well, first of all, you're going to look at the amount of sugar in there. And that if most of the calories are coming from the sugar, then you know it's probably got a lot of corn syrup. And looking at the ingredient, you know, labels, if you've got the first ingredient is whole grain oats, you know, that's a good sign because, you know, you're getting a whole grain. It's the first thing. It's the largest mm-hmm. by weight what's in the product. If it's got additional things in it like nuts and dried fruit, those are all really good opportunities to select some. And again, it's not like we're going to perhaps be eating these all the day, every day, but they're a good alternative than going through the drive-thru.
Yeah, very good. And a listener has called in and was interested in the website that you mentioned where you can put in your what's on
mypyramid.gov.
Mypyramid.gov.
But any you know, if you can't remember that or can't find it, you can just put in nutrition.gov. That will take you, it's a portal website that'll take you to lots of different websites related to nutrition, but the dietary guidelines and My Pyramid is on there as well.
Yeah, and the browsers these days are pretty good, so you can put in a fairly long query.
Right.
And you'll get what you need.
Right.
So are there other websites that you find yourself relying on as a nutritionist that would be of value to our listeners?
Well, I'm kind of a foodie, so I enjoy going out and looking at different recipes. And so I trust websites like cookinglight.com because, you know, they also have a lot of great articles that go along with that. If you don't get the magazine, you can check it out at the library. But it's a great magazine to be able to look at fun types of recipes, but also great articles, things that maybe, you know, challenge you if you're that type of person. If you want to go more of the, I like more simple foods, I don't like to have a whole lot of extra things in my pantry, then the Taste of Home Healthy Cooking is a really good, you know, not only magazine, but website too.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a more for the traditional home cook, but also for with a healthy twist to it. They have a lot of magazines under that umbrella, but the Healthy Cooking one is a really good one.
Yeah, the Cooking Light magazine, that'll keep you busy for a while if you get
right.
Get a couple of the older issues out of the library and take a look. But they're really nice the way they've also have all the nutritional information per, you know, serving. And after you start to look at that for a while, you get some ideas about how you can change some of your old favorites and make them, you know, a little better for you.
And also, too, it's exposed a greater audience to things that maybe we weren't as familiar with, like edamame, the green soybeans. You know, you're seeing that more and more in the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I finally, you know, got some at the store the other day and made up a quick salad with some, you know, red and green pepper and, you know, poured a little vinaigrette over it. And it was wonderful. And then I also made a faux guacamole with the edamame and just used that with a chip dip. It wasn't necessarily the same texture as guacamole, but it was a great dip, and took it to a party and everybody actually loved it, which was surprising. I kept saying, well, this is green soybeans.
That's great. And the other thing we've been fooling around with a little bit at our house is different grains, whole wheat couscous.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we wanted to talk about a little bit this afternoon, and we have mentioned it, is, you know, pinching pennies. And a lot of these good foods for you can buy in bulk.
That's right.
Around town. And it's a great way to experiment, because maybe you don't want to buy a whole lot of something, but you can take your recipe and it says, you know, you're going to need 1 cup or 2 cups, and you just buy that much.
That's right. Or, you know, to try to ease yourself into something new like that, like the whole grain pastas or the whole wheat couscous, you know, maybe mix it half and half with the, you know, the regular pasta or the couscous to kind of, especially if you're trying to sneak it into your family of trying something new like that.
Are there different cooking times for whole wheat, let's say elbows and regular elbows? So would you have to make up?
I have to look at the box to see exactly.
You're
depends on the
doing
shape.
You're probably a whole wheat all the time kind of a thing.
Well, not necessarily. I have two boys that love the plain old boxed, you know, mac and cheese.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to, you know, get that upped with the nutrition, but they catch me on that one.
Yeah. What is it about that kids like that?
I don't know, because, yeah. But I get the whole grain pasta in other ways, too. But that one, I've still, even though they have a whole grain version out there, we're not there yet. That's my goal, is to try to work it towards that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're in elementary school,
right.
So their tastes will change, no doubt.
Oh,
I have
definitely.
No doubt about it. I imagine that they've already, have they expanded their repertoire, or do you find that it waxes and wanes?
You know what? I really see that when children are young and kind of changing over from baby foods to toddler foods is a wonderful opportunity to be able to try a wide variety of things. It really opens, they're open to new, new tastes, new textures. They're anything to get off baby food, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then exciting to be table foods like with the rest of the family. Then about 16 months of age, depends on the child, it could be before that or after that, then that ego starts kicking in. They realize the only thing I can control in my life is what I put in my mouth. And then they really start balking at things. And they have more taste buds than we do, so they taste things stronger too. But, you know, research shows that it takes sometimes up to 15 times of, you know, showing something
exposure
to a child, before they're willing to taste it. And even then, sometimes it may take longer. That's the average. You know, some kids are longer, some kids take less. Most people give up before then. And with my boys, you know, I really tried to expose them to a lot of different tastes early on, which was great. But as they've gotten around in elementary school, see what their kids, you know, around them are eating and their friends are eating, then, you know, that's taken some of that control away from, you know, what goes on in the house. But again, if kids are hungry, generally they'll eat. And so it's just, again, being the gatekeeper in the house of what comes into the house and what's served. and then them choosing what they're going to eat during that time.
Yeah. What's available in the school in terms of candy and beverages these days? Are the candy machines gone? Are the pop machines gone?
In elementary schools, they have to be gone, except for, like, perhaps in the teacher's room of, you know, soda machines and candy machines and those type of things. For middle schools and high schools, it just depends. Local wellness policies, some schools completely have got rid of them. But it just depends on the school district, because it is a moneymaker for some schools to be able to have those available. So some of them are changing over to have healthier items in the vending. Also, a la carte. If you go through the reimbursable line and get the school lunch, you know that that's going to be a healthy choice. If they go through the a la carte line in middle school or high school, that's not covered by any nutrition standards. And so that's where you'll see a lot of either outside companies coming in, or they're, you know, high kind of revenue generating foods like the French fries and the pizza slices, et cetera, that they can sell during, you know, the a la carte line that they wouldn't get in the reimbursable lunch, because then that can help make money for the food service operation.
Yeah. How many kids eat school lunches, and then how many kids are going to school? When they go to school, they have breakfast as well.
Well, it depends. Nationwide, we're looking at kids get about 20% of the nutrition on a daily basis from the school lunch. It depends on the school district. When we look at having some grants available at the state to be able to award them to local school districts, we want to have at least 70% of the students eating school lunch. That's kind of a good number if you've got 70% of the kids. But, it depends on the district of how many. Some are 90, 95%. Mm-hmm. Some are lower than that. But if you have a child who's eating both lunch and breakfast at school, then they're getting about 50% of their daily allotment at school. And again, when you have kids that are on free or reduced breakfast and lunch, then they're going to be getting a lot of those nutrients there at school.
Yeah. What happens in the summertime?
It depends on school districts. Some continue on with some type of feeding program, a summer feeding program. Others, you know, the community picks up, you know, in areas. And in some areas, there's really nothing that happens.
Yeah. Speaking of breakfast, there is an important topic as well. How many kids, I wonder, arrive at school who have had little or inadequate breakfast, who are not taking part in school breakfast programs?
Well, if you're in a classroom, you can tell the kids that, you know, are slow to start the day, that, you know, that really aren't connecting with what's going on in the classroom. More often than not, they've not had breakfast. And, you know, that comes back to us as parents of modeling. You know, we may not ourselves feel up to eating breakfast in the morning, but, you know, eating it and choosing some healthy things. And there's a lot of quick things that are healthy, too. Banana, you know, doesn't take any time. Put some peanut butter on it. You've got some protein to help sustain, you know, the child, and have a piece of toast on the way in the car. You know, if that's what you're, you know, you're reduced to the amount of time. There's a lot of healthy choices that you can do, you know, if you have to in a quick amount of time. Yeah. But it really is. It really sets the foundation for the day of making a child ready to learn, because they're not, you know, tired or have a empty stomach and are hungry and irritable and et cetera.
Yeah. Give us some other ideas. Banana and peanut butter, that's a great combo, and a little piece of toast. Milk is easy.
Wonderful. Yogurt.
Yogurt.
Adding some, you know, throw on some fruit and some, you know, cereal. And, you know, you kind of make your own little muesli. You know, it's not, you know, technically the oats and et cetera, but it's like a parfait or something. You can, you know, make it fun that way. But you're getting the cereal without pouring milk. That's a little easier to eat in the car if you had to. But, you know, we try to vary it up at our house. We'll throw in eggs a couple times a month just because with the lack of time, I don't usually able to get up. We'll make pancakes on the weekend and then freeze them. And I'll pull them out during the week and we'll have them, or waffles, the same way.
Yeah. So then how do you reheat those? Or do you just have them room temperature? You thaw them out?
No, I just throw them from the freezer into the microwave.
Okay, very good. Well, one of the things that you're going to be doing this fall with Campus Rec is you're going to do some courses or some sessions about college kids and meals, lunches, breakfast, that kind of thing. What have you got planned?
Well, one class that we have is a healthy college cooking. And because we know you know, a lot of people just, they don't necessarily are getting cooking skills. A lot of us, again, a drive-through generation, you know, we're not cooking as much as we used to in the homes. And, you know, having the ability to know our way around the kitchen, read recipes, et cetera. And so it has a huge impact on our diet. And so one of the classes we're going to do is a healthy college cooking. We're going to have students come in and, you know, just teach them basic recipes that they can, you know, be able to replicate in their apartment, and, you know, something easy, you know, inexpensive, but then also healthy. And another class we're going to do is called Lunchables for generally, I mean, it can be for anybody, but targeted towards staff at the university, and have people come in and actually prepare their lunch. And we'll talk about healthy lunch choices and how they can pack a healthier lunchbox and have opportunities to do that.
I should take in one or two of those.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah. I have to have somebody sit in for me, though.
That's true.
Here on the afternoon.
We could bring it to you. We'll make it and bring it to you.
That would be fun. Yeah, that would be fun. Maybe someday we can do a little bit of that on the radio. That would be great. Lunchables. Well, lots of students who arrive in the fall from here at the University of Illinois and other college campuses, you know, there's a tendency to gain a little weight.
Mm-hmm.
What are the big culprits for what they call the freshman five, although it can happen to anybody?
Freshman 15, really.
Oh, is it the 15?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
I think because getting, you know, more independence and feeling like I don't have a bedtime per se, or, you know, having, you know, the curfew, et cetera, opens up a lot more opportunities for, you know, having snacks with friends, you know, late night pizzas, having the, you know, high calorie lattes every morning. There's a lot more opportunities to eat than, you know, perhaps back at home.
And if you're in a dorm, maybe you've got stuff in the dorm room that you're snacking on that's not the wisest stuff.
Right,
it's that
prepacked, you know, crackers and cookies and things that you can shelf stable, you know, unless you've got a small refrigerator and are choosing healthier items. But for the most part, when they come to school, you know, especially early on, you know, it's that freedom, that taste of freedom that they've got, that, you know, that's where that freshman 5, 10, 15 happens, because, you know, those 4 a.m. pizzas are...
And another thing I want to talk with you about here before we wrap up, and that's the college cafeterias. How are they doing? How are they shaping up?
You know, especially here at the university, they do a fabulous job. They really try to figure out what the students want, but then all, you know, offer a great variety of things. And so, you know, if you are on the plan to be able to meal plan at the university, there's wonderful opportunities out there for students that didn't exist when I was back in college.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been through a cafeteria for a while, but the last time I was, I thought, boy, this is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Well, because a lot of students especially are looking at how their eating affects their performance, whether it be in sports or their weight, et cetera. So they really want to offer a lot more fresh fruits and vegetables. You'll see salad bars everywhere. You'll see, you know, baked potatoes and more whole grains. You know, you're still going to see, you know, the fun sugar cereals and you know, those, you know, kind of fun items. But again, if you're trying to focus on building your meal from the healthier things, then you can add on those, you know, kind of fun things later on.
Okay. And you want to put in a word about what you and Susan are going to do at Strawberry Fields upcoming, Educated Eating?
We're going to be looking at classes specifically towards more disease states. Like the first class we're going to be doing is healthy eating for pre-diabetes / type 2 diabetes. And we're going to be looking at more classes along those lines and then probably expanding it to other topics. That whether it be, you know, going green and eating healthier, just in general, sustainability issues with our food system, you know, those kinds of workshops we'll be doing later on. But, you know, kind of early on, we're going to start with diabetes and cardiovascular disease and, you know, things that enable people to come and in a group setting, which is a great opportunity to learn from one another as adults. You know, that's how we learn best, is when we're kind of figuring it out on our own and learning from others. And this, it'll get a, you know, small class size, and then, you know, take some tours of the grocery store and actually look at some products on the shelves and be able to give them tools so they can head out the door with, you know, kind of armed information with healthy choices.
Yeah. Well, there we've got to leave it. We're out of time. Been really delightful talking with you this afternoon. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Stacy Krawczyk is a registered and licensed dietitian. She's in private practice. She specializes in family nutrition and education. This fall, she'll teach some nutrition and cooking classes for the University of Illinois Campus Recreation. And Stacy and Susan Kundrat, are also working together to offer some group classes beginning this fall at Strawberry Fields that they're calling Educated Eating.